We know that life is all about choices. Life is all about joy and sad and sadness. Success and failure. Sometimes you go through encouragement, but other times you go through disappointment in life. You know that life, that's what it's all about, really. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And I forget who, I think it's Mercy Me, he has a song about that, winning and losing. That's what life is all about when you think about what we go through in this life. Sometimes you're doing very well in life and you're progressing, and other times you look at yourself and it's like, what's going on? I feel like I'm losing right now. To be a follower of Jesus is not an easy task. Jesus even said it's not for the faint of heart to be a follower of Jesus, because he always talks about that you want to follow me, you are to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and then follow me. So it can, if you follow Jesus thinking that everything is going to be going well with you, you'll be disappointed. That's why, you know, the whole idea of prosperity gospel, that, oh, follow Jesus, and you say that, and the Lord's going to bless you. Yes, yes, we know he can bless you, but in his time. And so a lot of time people preach in this prosperity gospel that it doesn't do justice to the Bible, what the Bible teaches us about what it means to follow Jesus. It can be tough at times. You see, serving God will bring moments of loneliness, moments of disappointment to all of you. One of the reasons I didn't want to be a preacher is because I saw what my dad went through, and I said, I don't know that I can handle that. You know, so following Jesus will bring those times. Perhaps you are here today that you feel discouraged or disappointed or something. Maybe this sermon is for you, if that's you. But I see a man in the Bible that can teach us a lot about dealing with disappointments in life, dealing with discouragement, and I think it's the Apostle Paul. We know some things about Paul, and if you know a few things, so you're going to learn more about him today, because, you see, the Apostle Paul is somebody who can teach us how to navigate through life when sometimes you're losing, you feel like you're losing, when sometimes you feel disappointed, even within your own family, even when you feel lonely at times. Now, the question is, how do we cope with disappointment in life? How do we cope with discouragement? You see, when Paul became a follower of Jesus, he used to persecute the church, and he did everything in his power to stop followers of Jesus. Then he had an encounter with the Lord in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And then he became a Christian to the point that many of the people that were already following Jesus did not even believe that Paul was for real. And they were intimidated by him because he used to persecute the church. He had a great friend named Barnabas. Barnabas is the one who introduced Paul to the other apostles and told them, no, Paul is legit. He really had an encounter with Jesus. His life was transformed, and now he wants to preach. So Barnabas and Paul, I mean, they were so close, you know, and they became partners in the ministry. They became missionaries. When you read through the book of Acts in chapter 13, there's a church in Antioch, today Syria. Paul and Barnabas were two of the five leaders in that church. And they became missionaries. And the Bible says in chapter 13 of Acts that they were praising the Lord and praying and fasting. And the Lord and the Spirit spoke to them and told them to set apart Paul and Barnabas for a work. So in this church, the first missionary church that we read in the Bible was Antioch. And one of the great leaders they had was Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas began to travel through the Mediterranean Sea and Cyprus and Pamphylia and many other towns. And everywhere they went, they were preaching the gospel. They became missionaries, traveling all around. I mean, they were great friends. But then they will come back to Antioch and report, yes, the Lord, you know, Paul already had the call. Jesus told them, you're going to be a minister. You're going to be a preacher to the Gentiles. Gentiles means anybody who's not Jews. It's a Gentile. Just in case, you heard the word Gentiles, like, what? What's a Gentile? Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. So Paul understood that God called them to preach the gospel to everybody else around that wasn't Jewish. And so he and Barnabas engaged in that journey as missionaries as we go through chapter 13 of Acts. Then in chapter 15, something happens between Paul and Barnabas. You see, it was about 48 AD that they began traveling. So a year later, Paul tell Barnabas, you know what? Let's go back to those towns that we traveled. Let's go back to see how they're doing. I mean, we planted churches there. Let's go and see how they're doing. And apparently, so they had a disagreement there. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement, which, you know, it happens. Married couples, you get disagreement. Disagreement's always going to happen. There are some people, they do not know how to disagree with each other. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. I think when we look at how they disagree with one another, we can learn from that. So, but the Bible says that the disagreement, the dispute was so sharp that they decided to go separate ways. Someone's like, how can that be? I mean, you guys started the whole movement of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, but why now, because of a disagreement, you decided to part company and go separate ways? It had to do with a man named Mark. Barnabas wanted to take Mark on the journey. Paul says, no, he's not going. If he's going, I'm not going. And it was really that. So let me just read it for you in Acts chapter 15. This is not, I'm just giving you background information right now for the things we're going to be talking about later on. But Acts 15, verse 30 through 41. Sometime later, the NIV says, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back to visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. Mark is Barnabas' nephew. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew on the journey because apparently he had gone with them before. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. You see what's going on here. Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Paul said he's not going because when we were traveling, he decided to go back home. Scholars say that perhaps he got homesick or whatever. For whatever reason, Mark did not continue with Paul and Barnabas when they were traveling missionary. So now that Paul said, let's go back, Barnabas said, let's take Mark. Paul says he's not going because he did not continue with us. You know how it is. Like Paul says he's not reliable. And I don't want to take somebody unreliable on this journey. He abandoned us when we went through Pamphylia. Remember that? So I mean, look at the text. It says they had, verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. That's where Barnabas was from. There's an island in the Mediterranean west of Israel called Cyprus. You can look it up. Google it. It's still there. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers, by the church, to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul and Barnabas had this disagreement, this sharp dispute, all because of Mark. You see, this was a personal issue that they had. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, but Paul didn't think it wise. It wasn't a good idea. And Paul was hurt because they were all traveling. Those three, even Luke was traveling with them. And John Mark, at one time, the journey became a little severe because, you know, persecution came and he decided to go home. And Paul says, if he goes again, we should not take him. He's not reliable. And look, it was such a sharp dispute that he said, okay, well, this is it. We go separate ways. Sometimes that's what happens. When you cannot reconcile compromises, the only way for you is to depart way, to go your separate ways. Their disagreement wasn't theological. Their disagreement wasn't a matter of salvation. It was a matter of preference. You understand what I'm saying? It was like, I want him to go with us, but you don't want, has nothing to do with salvation. They were still brothers in Christ. But they just disagree how the preference. Preference can be like music, for instance, in church. Are we going to have electric guitar or not? People say, well, no, if you have electric guitar in the worship, I will not attend service. And some of them go to other churches because you have electric guitars. That has nothing to do with salvation. And you're not going to go to hell because you have an electric guitar or you do it or don't. That has nothing to do with salvation or theology. It's a matter of preferences. So here, you know, when you have preferences and you cannot reconcile the differences, the only option is you got to go separate ways. And that's what happened to Paul and Barnabas. But please hear me out. They were not enemies because they disagree. You know, on Facebook, people don't know how to disagree these days. I mean, you've seen that. It's almost like they respect each other. It's almost like, huh? And it's like, I mean, maybe we got to look at Paul and Barnabas, how they can, you know, they disagree each other. Look at the church commended them later on. They prayed for them and they sent them off on their way. Because the disagreement they had, like I say, it had to do with a personal issue. Now, you and I need to understand disagreement will happen in every area of your life. Disagreement happened between husband and wife all the time. Should we paint the house blue? Oh, no, no, that honey, that color is, you know, there's a disagreement there. And if you don't know how to fix it, sometimes you say, okay, I go with you now. Or you just got to go and ask somebody else's opinion to tell you, because if you don't agree with one another in matters of preferences, you're going to separate from one another. Since they could not reconcile the difference, I understand Barnabas' point. I mean, that's your family, it's your nephew. He went back home to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and he went and traveled through those regions and began to strengthen the churches over there. The church commended them to the grace of God, verse 40. In other words, the church prayed for them. You see, the church was okay with what they chose to do. They prayed for them, sent them off. And you see, even though Paul and Barnabas disagree, and he might look like, oh, wow, you guys started that, and now you're gonna go separate ways. God used that for his glory. God can use the conflict you're going through right now to create, to make something even bigger. Because Paul's team is gonna become even larger now. He started with Barnabas. Now somebody else that we know whose name is Silas joined Paul. And then later on you hear about Timothy and other people that, you know, God brought to his life as he was engaging in his missionary journey in the Mediterranean Sea. God used this conflict for his glory. See, Paul, he continued to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and God brought more people into his life. God brought more people because his passion was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and now the team is getting bigger. You see, when it comes to preferences sometimes, your team might change. Team might change because, and people will come and go in your life. Ministries like that. I wasn't supposed to be in Staten Island. I'm here. I've been here now almost like 9 years. It was not even in my radar. Did not even want to come here. But you see, when you serve God, he might bring you to certain places. He might bring certain people into your life. Tomorrow they might be gone, and he brings some other people. You understand what I'm talking about. So he does that, and that's part of the life cycle, that people will come and go. Team might change. Programs might come and go as well. And especially when it comes to matters of preferences. So Paul and Barnabas parted company. The church prayed for them and sent him off. Like I say, in serving God, the people you serve with might change tomorrow. Your team might change. Now, it's hard to serve God in ministry, or it's hard to serve God through an event where those involved in the event don't see eye to eye. So it's hard to be part of a team where everybody in the team is not in agreement. And when that happens, either you have to find another team or you have to be out of the team. You know, I love team sports, basketball, baseball. And, you know, if we're going to be playing together, we're going to be together. If you're going to do your own thing, then you should not be in that team. And so because it's hard to serve God when you're not on the same page. You know, married couples, think about that. When you guys have to make decisions, when you're not on the same page, conflict is going to come. And sometimes couples don't know how to resolve that conflict. And guess what happened? They separate from one another. And it was really simple. It was because they did not want to reconcile their differences. It says, my way or no way. And when that happens, my brothers, sisters, pretty soon it's that you're going to go separate ways. You see, disagreement over preferences, when either party is not willing to compromise, leads only to separation. Paul and Barnabas parted ways, but this did not stop God's plan and purpose. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever it is you're going through in life, that will not stop God from accomplishing his purposes. God is larger than my disagreement. God is larger than my conflict that I have right now. That will not thwart or tarnish God's plan. Because he's bigger, and we have that conviction. He's larger than whatever it is we're going through. He's larger than whatever it is that we're battling and fighting about. So look, God's plan and purpose is still going to be accomplished because Paul's passion for the gospel was still there. The only thing that changed was the team. And Barnabas would go to Cyprus, and there he would preach with Mark. See, Paul did not let this disagreement with Barnabas stop him from accomplishing the mission that Jesus already given him to go to the Gentiles with the gospel. So he chose another partner and sailed off. You see, sometimes God will use conflict to challenge us. God will use conflict to help us grow. I don't think you can grow without conflict. I mean, that's how you know that you're really growing, when you can say, wow, you know, I'm getting better. I mean, conflict is like working you out so that you develop spiritual muscles. You're not going to develop spiritual muscles just going to church on Sunday and listening to that. It's later on when you're out there and issues happen, you realize, you know, wow, I'm still standing. You know, my faith will get strong. So God will use conflict to grow us, to develop us, to make us more mature in Him. He will use conflict to move us out of the comfort zone. Sometimes we're too comfortable in Christianity in America. And God will use something to mobilize you. How do I know that? Check this out. When the church started, they were all in Jerusalem. Jesus has said to them, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. They all stay in Jerusalem. And what happened later on? God allowed persecution. Now somebody's going out there hunting Christians. And what happened to the Christian? They mobilized. Because if persecution had not happened, the church would just stay there singing together with one another, enjoying each other. And that wasn't God's intention, by the way. God's intention is that you start in Jerusalem, you go to Judea, you go now to the foreign country of Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But because they were so happy with one another, they did not want to go anywhere, like we do it today too, church. And God allowed persecution. Somebody had to die for you to realize, maybe God wants us to move out of here. And then finally they got it. God allowed persecution to mobilize the church. But guess what? Persecution could not stop the spreading of the gospel. God used conflict to move you from where you are to make you a better individual. He used that to teach us to rely on Him and not to rely on those around you. You know, sometimes we're just comfortable. Like, and God will use, you know, you got to depend on me. And I'm going to do something so that you will have to eventually say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Please help me. He will use conflict or any situation, hardships in your life so that you learn how to rely on Him and not on the resources you have and not on the other people you have around. Yes, people are good to have around, but sometimes we rely too much on people. And we should always rely on the one that has everything. So conflict, I think conflict is a good thing in God's workshop. Conflict is a good thing in God's hands because He used that for His glory to make us stronger, to make us the people that He has called us to become. So Paul goes on his journey, and you see when you look at his life, he did like four journeys. And when you look at all the missionary trips that he took, it wasn't just Silas. There was somebody else called Apollos, Priscilla and Aquila, all the people that he was just joining his team. You see, if you would have just stayed with Barnabas, just the two of you, he had not been able to expand that ministry and all the people that God brought to his life. I love Paul because when you read his letters, he always, at the end of each letter, he said, greet the brothers and so, and he would call those people by name because God brought people into his life to expand, to bring the gospel to places where no other person had taken it. Paul truly was the greatest missionary of the Christian church. He was greater than Jesus in terms of mission work. Jesus' mission stayed in Galilee and Judea. Paul took the gospel where? To Rome and all the other regions. He was the greatest missionary. You and I know the gospel today. It's because of the Apostle Paul. And we ought to be grateful for that. But it's like, wow. So matter of preferences, Paul was hurt by Mark, and, you know, he went the separate ways, but he did not let that dictate, or it wasn't a matter, oh, I have to forgive you. No, he would just that they just didn't see eye to eye on that. And they separated from one another. About 17 years after the incident between Paul and Barnabas, Paul is in a prison cell. He's arrested in Rome. He's feeling lonely, discouraged, hurt. You know, and he writes letters from prison. He wrote two letters to a man named Timothy, Paul's young protege. Paul calls Timothy, "You are my son in the faith." He writes two letters to Timothy about 66 AD. And then he writes another letter to Titus while he's in prison. But while he's there, you can tell the apostle Paul feels abandoned by people. Like even though he had the team in the faith was so great, but there was a time in his life that he came to his low, He's like, wow, you know, like I need companionship and I don't have it right now. The church in Rome was not planted by Paul. He went in there, you know, in chapter 28 of Acts, he was allowed to go and preach, but he was under house arrest. Everywhere he went, he got a guard. And then eventually, when the emperor changed, they were going to bring Paul out for a trial to kill him. And you know, tradition says that he was decapitated. All for the sake of, but he was in prison. He wrote letters from there. And when you read his letters, you can tell, you have a sense of the feeling that he was going through. The man of God. Not because you are anointed by God doesn't mean that you're going to have moments of loneliness. We all go through that. You know, a lot of preachers quit because sometimes the work is so hard and sometimes you don't get the support you need and just you throw the towel. Paul, when you read that, we're going to go now 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's the passage where he's writing to Timothy. And he said to them, one of the things he says, you know, I feel my life now is being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure has come. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Those are the words of this man from prison. But then he's encouraging Timothy, you know, now that you're there, you're the preacher, just do certain things. Be prepared, seasoning out of season to preach the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to what Paul is writing to his student. Verse 9. He said, do your best to come to me quickly. He's in prison. He's like, hey, I need you with me right now. Do your best to come to me quickly. And then this is what he says. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And the scroll, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. I mean, think about it. Paul is in prison. You, perhaps in the dungeon, in the hole with shackles, and he's only given the freedom to people who come and see him once in a while, and he was able to write and find out how the churches were doing out there. 17 years after he started this whole thing, he's in prison now. But in those 17 years, he touched a lot of people. And you see some of those names right here. He said, do your best to come to me quickly because Demas deserted me. In serving God, some people will abandon you. And I think when you serve God, you need to understand that that might happen. That not everybody's going to stick with you. Look at what happened to Paul. He said, come to me, Timothy, quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, he has deserted me. Demas was one of Paul's missionary partners. You can read about him in Colossians and Philemon that Paul says, he's my co-laborer, he's my worker, my partner in the gospel. But apparently later on when he's in prison, Demas was nowhere to be found. And Paul says, because he loved the world. Please, Timothy, I need somebody. He needed companionship at that time. The great evangelist of the Christian faith, Paul, come to me quickly because Demas had deserted me. And then some of the other people, it doesn't say that they deserted Paul, but they went to other works. They went to the towns like Titus. He went to Dalmatia, and so many of the people have responsibility in their churches, so they all went to their places, but Paul is by himself in Rome in a prison cell, and he needed Timothy to come and see him. In serving God, some people will abandon you. You might have some demons in your system, but also in serving God, some will stick with you till the end. That's what Bucky told Captain America. I'm with you to the end. I'm with you to the end of the line, pal. We all need bucks like that. Paul has some of those. Luke was one of those. Titus. And he talks about, only Luke is with me. Luke is the one who wrote, is the gospel writer, the gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And he traveled with Paul. He was there when they went shipwrecked, when they almost drowned in the Mediterranean Sea. He was there. And Paul says, Luke, only Luke is with me. Everybody else went to their towns, whatever, but Timothy, come. So in serving God, some people might abandon you, but there will some that will stick with you till the end. People like Luke and Titus and Timothy and many others. Now check this out. It's interesting. Paul requested Timothy to bring Mark. Remember Mark that I told you about that Paul had a problem with 17 years ago? Now he said, bring Mark because he's useful to me in my ministry. Yes, Mark was not useful to Paul in his ministry 17 years ago because Mark apparently had not grown very, very well in terms of the faith, and he was afraid of the persecution. But 17 years, that's a lot of times, something changed in Mark, and he grew, and he proved himself to Paul that now he even said, bring Mark because he's helpful to me in my ministry. Brothers and sisters, they were not enemies. It was just they didn't see eye to eye because your philosophy of ministry is different than my philosophy of ministry. How we do things is differently. But apparently now he needed Mark to come. And Mark was one of those that even though he started wishy-washy a little bit, he grew now. And Paul says, bring him with you, Timothy, because he's useful to me in my ministry. You're going to have people like that. People perhaps in your life, in families, that at the beginning they smile with you, but at the end they're the demons. They desert you. Or you might have people that you have a little issue with them at the beginning, but at the end, they are the ones who stick with you till the end, like Mark. That's what ministry is all about. When I was ordained to ministry, the first words that came out of the mouth of the preacher, he said to me, ministry is messy. And I'm thinking, I'm about to start that, and you're just telling me that? But it's so true, because you have joys, a lot of things, it's like, wow, thank God. But a lot of times you have sleepless nights, and people might not appreciate you that much, like, and still, like, you do it because you love God. Because, you have to understand when you're serving God, people might not see eye to eye with you sometimes. People might be there with you, but at the end, they abandon you and leave you alone. But there will be others that they will stick with you no matter what. It will be the Buckies that you and I need to have. And you and I can identify them. So those are the ones that, that if I ever leave, I will really be missing those because they're sticking with me through thick and thin. It's like some of them in good times, in sickness and in health. Sounds familiar, like the marriage vows. In good times and bad times, that you make a commitment to one another that doesn't matter what happens, we're going to go with you. Bring Mark because he's useful to me in my service now. That's beautiful. You can tell that whatever happened, the differences that they had, they reconciled that. And Paul wants Mark with him now. Mark proved himself. In serving God, disappointment and betrayal may come. You see, when Paul was brought to trial, look at what he says in verse 14. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. And now Paul is warning Timothy, be on your guard for people like Alexander because he's always opposing our message. Paul went through a lot of opposition. People did not want him to preach. In fact, at one time, he had to prove himself that he was an apostle because people said, no, he's not for real. He's not an apostle. And he had to defend himself. And it was at that time, he says, at one time I came and nobody stood by me. Listen to what he says. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May not be held against them. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. When Paul says right here that at my first defense, no one came to my support. He's in Rome, and he did not plant the Roman church. At the beginning, chapter 28, people would be coming in and out of prison, helping Paul. When it was time for the emperor to get him out and just, okay, tell us who you are, what you're going to do. It was trial time. They brought him before the court. Nobody was around him. And he's saying, the church of Rome abandoned Paul. He's saying, in my first defense, no one came to me. You know, they all deserted me. And then he says, I don't have anything against them. May the Lord may not be held against them. You know, I was there, and perhaps I needed people to be by my side because I'm going through a trial, and nobody was there with me. I mean, listen to his words. Everyone deserted me. He's talking about the church in Rome. That's where the trial took place. Everybody deserted you but one, and that's God. Because, my friends, God's faithfulness still is going to go through trials you go through. His faithfulness surpasses whatever it is that you're going through. And Paul understood God's faithfulness. Even when people abandoned him, God was still by his side. God's faithfulness was evident even when people around him left him. He said, God continued to be with me. He says, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me the strength that I needed. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. David, the Psalm said, the psalmist writes, says, if my mother and father would leave me, the Lord would take me. You know, sometimes even in your own family, people might not like you and they desert you because you represent Jesus, but the Lord says, I'm with you. And he really means that. He says, I'm with you till the end of the line. Despite whoever it is in your family that abandons you and leaves you because of whatever, God will never leave you. And yes, he will allow those trials to go through, but at the end of those trials, you're gonna come stronger and with a more dependency on him than anybody else around. Don't depend. We need people, yes, but sometimes we depend so much on the preacher, whatever. No, don't look at me, because I might fail you tomorrow. Just follow. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. That's the one you gotta look at. My job is to point you to him. Because, I mean, none of us deserve his grace, and he still showers his grace and love daily on us, even when we don't deserve those things. So, in serving God, you're going to go through hardships and trials, and you're going to go through disappointments. I mean, Paul, he was disappointed in some of his own people, and now they just abandoned him. You're going to go through that, but even though you go through those things, keep this in mind, God is faithful. He is faithful to do more than you could ever ask or imagine. And look, Paul says that right here. Now, you and I need to understand despite whatever thing Paul went through in life, and in spite of all those issues and tribulation, what kept him going? I mean, have you ever wondered that? What kept this man going strong in the faith? Because I never one time you felt Paul saying, this is too hard, I'm going to quit. Never you hear Paul say, I'm quitting. Even though when the going was getting hard, he never quit. He was never tempted to quit. Yes, he was disappointed. He was discouraged, but he never quit. What kept him going? I tell you what kept him going. I will tell you what fueled Paul's passion for the gospel. You know what it was? It was Jesus who kept him going. Because despite whatever people did to him, his main focus was still Jesus Christ. And that kept him going, even when people around him abandoned him, because he is faithful. He says, the Lord stood by my side and gave me the strength that I needed. And God delivered me from the lion's mouth, he says, because God was still there with him. God went to prison with the Apostle Paul, just like God went to prison with Daniel. God went to exile with the Israelites. Wherever you go, God will go. Even when at times you might not feel that he's there. But open your eyes, because he's not going to leave you. He's there. And yes, he will allow you to go through the fire, but at the end, you're going to come shinier. Because that fire is going to purify you even more. Just read Paul's conviction, verse 18. He says, The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. This is a man writing from prison. And he's saying that. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So you ask, what kept the apostle Paul going? Jesus. No wonder he writes to the Philippians. He says, I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. I can do, yes, with disappointment, I can deal with that. People don't like me with that, I can deal with that. Trials, tribulation, imprisonment, I can do all things through Christ because he's the one that provides the strength that I need. That was Paul's perspective in life, Jesus, and that's why he never quit. I mean, you imagine many of us probably being hunted down, trying to kill us. We stop preaching the gospel. Oh, no, man, we got to... He didn't care. At one time, he got stoned, and people left him because they thought they killed him. He got up and went back to the town to preach the gospel. Why? Because he can do all things through Christ. Only Christ will be the fuel enough to get you going through trials. Only Jesus will hold you strong in the midst of the storm. Only Jesus can bring peace when everything about you and around you is falling apart. And you look at Jesus and say, I'm still standing because the strength that I have is not mine. He's the one working through me. That's what kept him going. Because God is faithful. He says, I'm with you till the end. He's faithful to carry you through whatever it is in this life that you're going through right now. He will stand by your side. That's why Paul never quit when the going in his life was rough. Because his strength was Jesus. You see, looking at Paul's life again, his life changed, his team changed, circumstances changed, situations in his life changed, but one thing remained the same, Jesus. And Jesus was the one who was able to get him through all those things that he went through. Betrayal, tribulation. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus was really his lifestyle. At one time he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going to live my life, I'm going to live it for him. He was sold out for the sake of the gospel. Now you too will be able to go through anything in this life. If Jesus Christ is the fuel. If he is the one, your perspective, if he's your focus, doesn't matter what people do to you tomorrow. It doesn't matter what you go through in this life tomorrow. If Jesus is still there, he will get you through. My dad can testify to you. My dad almost went through the same thing the Apostle Paul. Some of his friends said, we are with you. And at the end, they abandoned him. And I saw my dad, my dad and I are very close, and he was just like empty. And I just put my hands on his shoulders as a young guy and said, hey, you still believe in God? He looks at me and says, yes. I said, but don't worry about it. So church, you still believe in God? Whatever it is you're going through right now, you still believe that he can do more than that you could ever ask or imagine? If you're convicted about that, don't worry. Because he's able to do more than whatever it is trials you're going through. Yes, it hurts. I'm not saying whatever it is, it doesn't hurt. It hurts. But he's with you till the end of the line, pal. You just gotta believe that.